I'd like you to get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. If you need a Bible, it's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one so you can study with us this morning. Proverbs 3, 1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto my soul, and thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne this morning, Lord, I praise you for helping us to understand what true wisdom is all about, and that it can truly only come from you. Lord, I pray as you search our hearts this morning, I pray that we'll empty ourselves to be filled with you and your word. The Spirit will guide and direct us through this message this morning. Lord, you know the hearts of each individual that's here and listening to this message. Lord, I pray if there's one that's never received your Son as Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that as we study, that you will just guide and direct us, open our hearts, open our understanding, guide my words. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. If I were to ask you this morning to define the word wisdom, what would your definition be? Would your definition include descriptive terms such as skillful, wise? Would your definition expand to include a statement such as knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to our action? Would it also include the words discernment or insight? And then if I were to ask you, what is the source of true wisdom, would you state that it is acquired from scholarly knowledge or learning? Or would you state that true wisdom can only be found in the Word of God, for which requires prayer, study, receiving, applying, and ultimately using for all applications throughout our lives? James wrote this in James 1 and 5. He says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom. But you see, in order to receive wisdom, you got to realize you lack it. If you're going to ask for it, to be able to receive it. But I truly believe that many are hindered in obtaining true wisdom. Let me explain that. because it requires effort. And it also has to be looked upon as great value. You know, a lot of people don't want to search for true wisdom because it takes effort. And until we realize the value of true wisdom, we're not going to seek it. We're not going to expend hardly any effort to be able to acquire it. Now, to be clear, there are many people who have studied the writings of man, and they have acquired much knowledge and understanding as to the subject matter at hand. But they're limited in their scope of wisdom. Now, I'll explain that. Their application of knowledge and understanding only expands the small sphere in their life and the world they live in. And for many, they are happy with that limitation. Okay, I want you to hear what I'm saying here because it'll help us understand when we get into the Scriptures. There's also many students of the Bible that have acquired much knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures. However, they too are limited in their sphere of life because they have not learned how to apply their knowledge and understanding, and it only spans a small sphere of their lives. And the reason that they are limited in their knowledge and understanding and their application is because they have limited themselves through truth and knowledge. Truth, knowledge, and discernment is scary at times. And here's the reason why it's scary at times. Truth, knowledge, and discernment. Because once you acquire it, you've got to stand on it. And so many times, obtaining true wisdom and then acting upon it and using it is difficult. And what ends up happening is that if we do not apply truth and discernment, and all we have is a lot of Bible knowledge, a Bible memorization, a Bible studying, and I can tell you where this verse is or that verse is, but without ever really applying truth and discernment and really understanding what true wisdom is all about, we open ourselves up to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. And we're warned about that. In Ephesians 4:14, Paul says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. One of the most important aspects of wisdom that we can draw from this passage we're going to study this morning here in Proverbs 3 is that we understand that God in His Word is the source of true wisdom. And that as we acquire wisdom from His Word, we can apply our God-given wisdom in all spheres of our life's journey. Now, I want to, again, make this emphasis before we look at this morning. Remember what I said earlier. Many men, many people, many women, I don't care who it is, they have studied man's words. And their sphere is limited to that scope. They cannot take, or they have a very hard difficulty taking what they've learned in this discipline of life and applying it over here. They have the same difficulty trying to apply it over here. Even as students of God's Word, if we're not careful, all we're doing is studying to know the Scripture, but really have not taken it to learn the wisdom of it and to learn how to use it, and we will have the same difficulty in applying that knowledge over here in this aspect of our life, as well as this aspect. Our lane is going to be very narrow of where we apply it. But when we learn to take the wisdom that God has given us in His Word, and we not only receive it, we apply it and we act upon it, then the wisdom that we have can be used across all disciplines of our life, irrespective of where we are. I've shared with you before, and I think it's worth repeating here, of the time that I've had the opportunity to go to college and university, what I drew a conclusion from is I learned how to learn. That was really the essence of the training, the disciplines that I learned in, was I learned how to learn. And out of that, I can take that ability now, and I can apply it in this discipline, and this discipline, irrespective, and it's like learning the Word of God and being able to use it. Because God's Word says and teaches us that His Word is good for all people, at all places, and at all times. Because we can apply His Word, we can apply His wisdom in all disciplines of our life. And here's the reason why. Isaiah says this, for as in Isaiah 55 and 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Alright? My ways are higher, my thoughts are higher than yours. And if we're going to desire God's wisdom, His true wisdom, it should be because we greatly value it. We greatly value God's wisdom in our lives. But again, it's going to take effort to receive it. Here in our text, our opening text, as we started reading in the first six verses, as Solomon is writing to his son, he is talking to him about being obedient. And is an exhortation to obedience. And in fact, as we start here, he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So here we find that Solomon is speaking to his son about being obedient to his commandments. Is that this statement, and I think we can extrapolate this statement into what Jesus said in John 14 and 15, where he says, if you love me, keep, and that word keep means to do my commandments. But here also, when he said to keep my commandments, he said, let's look at the words. He said, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let thine heart keep my commandments. You got to understand something. There's a difference here in reading this passage and reading this verse to where it says, forget not my law, because if we're not careful, we will do it as a result of duty. We will do it as a result of duty, as opposed to wanting to do it because of our loving devotion to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can read the scripture and this says, and think about this, the commandment was, the precept was, that we do what? That we forget not my law. And the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments, keep my words, keep my law. But it also says, but let thine heart keep keep my commandments. Let thine heart. If we're truly going to seek the wisdom of God, it has to come from our loving devotion to the Lord. It has to come from our voluntary action. It has to come because we realize that God has something greater for us than we ourselves. His Word will guide us. His Word will direct us. The psalmist wrote this in Psalms 119:11. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. It was a matter of studying it to know what it is. Ezra wrote this in Ezra 7 and 10. But Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And I look at this as that Ezra realized that if he was going to be able to teach someone else about the Word of God, about the wisdom of God, he had to first seek to understand the law of it. But first it required preparing his heart for the duty. I just use that word for the action at hand. He had to prepare his heart. He had to open his heart. As I've shared with you before, is that if we're going to study God's Word, many times our first prayer should be, Lord, get me out of the way. Get all of my predispositions. Get all of my biases. Get all of my understanding out of the way, because I want to learn what you have to say. Oftentimes we enter into a subject matter is because of something that somebody else has taught us. There may be reasons ways that I have taught you something that you go and say, well, our pastor said this. I want you to hear what God has to say. Now, what I say should be what the Word says. But enter it into when we study God's Word to say, Lord, I want you to see what you have to say. That's why I prepare my heart. I open my heart so that I may understand your words. Jesus also stated to his disciples in the upper room when he said, as is recorded in John 14 and 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In verses 3 and 4, verse 2 also tells us, rather, that we have what? For as a result of keeping the Word of God in our hearts for length of days and long life and peace, shall they add to thee. Think about this, is that what this says to us? That if we take the Word of God, our life will be longer. Now, does that mean that this goes, don't go out here and run out here and say, well, I'm going to live for X number of years. No, but I will tell you, you won't be taking years off your age because you're worrying. You won't be taking years off your age because you're fretting. You won't be taking years off your age because you fear, because I will tell you this, fear, fretting, worry, anxiety takes years off our age. Takes years because it brings a mental, emotion, heart, your whole body, everything about you. If you are in fretting, anxiety, and all these things are crippling in our lives. But when we open our heart unto the Word of God and we have confidence in the Word of God, it says our days will be lengthened. In other words, our emotional state, our mental state, our health state will be much better than all of the fretting and things of this in this life. Verse 3 and 4 goes on to say, and remember what I'm saying, when we study the Word of God, we need to see what it's saying to us because we need to seek the wisdom of it. Verse 3 and 4 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So here is this call to keep mercy and truth with us at all times, especially in our hearts. Now mercy is loving kindness. And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now you might ask, what is loving kindness? It is grace. It's more than kindness. Let me give you an example here. Teacher asked a little girl the difference between kindness and loving kindness. What's the difference between kindness and loving kindness? The little girl responded with this. Well, if you go in and ask your mama for a piece of bread with some butter on it and she gives it to you, that's kindness. But if she puts a little jam on it without you asking her, that's loving kindness. Well, my friend, I will tell you this morning, God puts a lot of jam on His Word and for us. Amen? That's loving kindness. That's truth. And the Scripture says, let not these forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And I look at this about the difference. You know, when you look at the Pharisees, they're in the, you read in the New Testament, you read about the Pharisees, that they had the Word of God on, and they put them in little leather boxes called phylacteries. And they either wore them on their hand, it was a box on their hand, or they put them on their forehead, they wore them about. Notice what was missing there, is that they had the knowledge. It would show that they had the knowledge of the Scriptures. But what they hadn't done is they hadn't put it in their heart. They hadn't taken it and put it in their heart. They hadn't taken it and used their hands to do the will of God. Oh, they came up with all these laws and rules. Duty. But what they had lost sight of is they had lost sight of taking the Word of God that was in those little boxes and opening it up and actually applying it to their hearts. That's why it says, let not mercy, let not truth forsake thee or walk away from thee. Bind them, keep them in thy, about thy neck, about thy mind, and about thy heart. Keep it in the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find, notice the benefit here, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5 and 6 goes on to say of our text, and this is probably two verses that many people know. In fact, these are probably two of the most quoted verses of Scripture. Verse 5 says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. You know, each one of us places our trust in one or two beings. And if I were to ask you, do you know who they are? Probably you would say this. You place your faith and trust in either someone else or yourself. When it boils down, that's the two beings. Someone else or you. The Lord directs us to trust Him. And He supplies the benefits of doing so. Trust the Lord with all your heart and He will direct all your paths. That's why it's so important that we study the Word of God. Many of you can quote 2 Timothy 2:15 where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we can memorize that, we can learn that. But if you don't realize the value of it, the value of God's Word, and where the true wisdom, true knowledge, true understanding comes from, then you have missed the point. All you will have done is this. I get up every morning, I read the Word of God, I memorize it, whatever the case is, I understand that passage, but you never take and understand the value of it. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 15, tells us, as Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now I will tell you, is that many people, that's where they stop with their learning of Scripture. They stop there. Because I'll tell you, everyone needs to understand we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Everyone needs to understand that there is none righteous. No, not one. We've all missed the mark. Only Jesus can save us. Every one of us needs through the Scriptures to understand that Christ had to come. Christ had to die on the cross of Calvary to forgive us of our sin debt. But it comes to receiving Christ through faith, through repentance. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And unfortunately, many children of God stop there with that seeking to understand the benefit, the value of God's Word and His wisdom. Because verse 16 and 17 goes on to say, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the child of God, may be perfect, complete, maturing, being able to get off the milk, to get onto the meat of the Word, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, which we were created in Christ Jesus to be able to do His good works. Now consider, now that's trusting in the Lord. That's understanding the value of God's Word. That's understanding that the Lord will do what? Direct our paths, irrespective of where we are. And if I'm over here doing this in my life, He will direct my path. If I'm over here doing this, He will direct my path. And it's the same token, if I'm over here, He will direct my path. If He's called us in that direction, He will direct my path. Now I want you to consider though the alternative, if we trust in ourselves. Because none of us can direct our own paths. You and I do not know what's going to happen an hour from now. Let alone tomorrow. Let alone 2 weeks from now. Or a year from now. None of us know. None of us know where we're going to get ourselves into. And so how do we get out of whatever we get ourselves into? Now you say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Let's say you lose a job. Now, I will tell you, losing a job is devastating. It is. It is. It's devastating. Been there, done that. Okay? It's devastating. Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But if you just let the Lord lead, sometimes you don't realize the Lord brought you to a termination in that job because He had something much better for you over here. It may not be that He's bringing you to something that has more money. But there's something He wants you to learn at this moment in time. And you see, when He's directing our paths, we can't look at it, Lord, what in the world am I, how are we going to make ends meet? I will tell you, I've seen the Lord work on how that I made a certain amount of money, no money, less money than what I was making, and not one bill went unpaid. Not one bill. We always had food on the table. Not one bill went unpaid. How did it happen? Because He directed our paths. What was the learning process? Because He wanted us to learn something new. He wanted us to see. And then after that journey, He set us to a different path of what we can do to continue on. You see, the Lord directs all of our paths. Sometimes it's hard. And when you're going through that journey, because we look and say, well, Lord, where are you? Why did you desert me? I didn't desert you. I've got a path for you. Trust in the Lord. Again, seeking the true wisdom of the Lord helps us to see His wisdom, to gain understanding, and that we might trust it. Because if we trust in ourselves, Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusted in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Jesus even stated during the Sermon on the Mount when he was talking to his church, but he was also talking to individuals as well as of that body. He says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. If it be in concert with him and in his word. So not only did he say this to the members of that congregation, but he also said it to the congregation as a whole, is that when we trust in him, if we trust in him, he will direct our paths. Continue reading here again in our text, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And I want you to see is that as we continue to study this text, is that there is that if you do this, here is the consequence. Remember what I said, consequences can be good and bad. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be. When you do what God says us to do, when He instructs us to do, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And think about this, our very core fiber, and I believe that's why here as Solomon was writing this, are the sinews of our life, the very membranes of our bodies, the very thought process, the synapses that are there in our minds. It shall be health to us when we are not wise in our own eyes. When we're not here sitting and wringing our hands, worrying about what's going to happen today or tomorrow or the next day, when we just wring our hands, the Lord tells us, if you have anxiety, He says, cast all your care upon Him, because He careth for you. Cast all of it upon Him. Now I will tell you, it says here, notice what it says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Now, some people will read this, fear the Lord, and here's what they'll do. They'll run over to their corner. They'll cower down. I'm fearing the Lord. He's going to bring some pain upon me if I do something against Him. That's not what it's talking about. Fear the Lord means I have reverence of Him. I have respect of Him. I believe Him, what His Word has to say. And so, as a result of having confidence in Him, remember I said there's two people you're going to trust in, either someone else or you. How many of you have fixed your own situations in your life as a child of God? How many of you have fixed your own situation without the knowledge of God? If you have any knowledge, it's because God gave it to you. If you have any wisdom, true wisdom, it's because God gave it to you. Remember what I said? The wisdom that we have in our lives, that we can apply in all situations, that we can apply. Now, it doesn't mean that everything works the same way for every situation, but God has every answer in His Bible, right? In His Word. This is not a book of questions. This is a book of answers. And when I study it, I will find an application. Pastor, I've had this issue, and I just have not found an application. Let me ask you, when was the last time you prayed about it? When was the last time you opened your heart to it? When was the last time that you really asked God to show you an application for your particular situation? If you will open your hearts, you will find an application in Scripture that you can extrapolate from and say that, you know what, if He took care of this person in their situation, He can take care of me in mine. Otherwise, the Bible is dead. You see, it would have ended. You know, how many times have you heard people say this? Well, the Bible is for Bible times. Bible is for Bible times. Folks, if we're not living in Bible times, we might as well cast this thing out the window. We might as well put it outside if we're not living in Bible times. So if the Bible is good for all people and all places, all times, and the Lord says, I change not, my Word changes not, therefore I believe that I can find an example in Scripture that will help me in my situation, irrespective of what it is. Irrespective of how dire my situation may be. But I've got to trust in Him. In fact, the Lord tells us that when we do, and as a result, we're going to fear the Lord, we're going to reverence Him, and what we're going to do is we're going to be drawn to His holiness, His mercy, His grace and truth, and when we do, we will be drawn to depart from evil. And I will tell you, if we are hiding iniquity in our hearts, we are not departing away from evil. If we're hiding sin in our hearts, if we have overlooked sin and we've covered it up and said, you know what, the Lord isn't going to look down on me for that. I will tell you, you are hindering the wisdom of God. If you are hiding any kind of sin in your heart, in fact, Paul writing to Timothy said this in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Think about that. Let every name depart from iniquity. And I will tell you, we've heard preaching about humility and that Christ was meek and holy and humble. We sometimes aspire to be humble. But if you're not departing from evil, you will never be humble. You will never be humble. Humility. And this, what we're seeing here in these verses, that we're seeing that from verses 7 down to verse 12 here, we will see is that this is an exhortation to humility. You've got to forsake yourself and follow the Lord. And then you can start to understand what true humility is about. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. Starting in Matthew 5, starting in verse 5, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." How am I going to see God? I'm going to see Him through His Word. I'm going to see Him with His Spirit giving us understanding. And notice again, the very benefits of doing so is that there will be a healing to my sinews and the moistening of my bones so that I feel more alive, more alert, more ready. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to get tired or anything. Don't put this into all physical. It's spiritual, my friends. And I will tell you, when your spirit is healthy, your body will be healthy. You say, really? Really? Well, I got cancer. I got a heart problem. So, as long as my spirit is healthy, my body's healthy. As long as my spirit is healthy, my body is healthy. You see, because of the very fact is that I know, as Job said, I know my Redeemer. Even though that these skin worms may eat this flesh up, one day I'm going to stand before my Lord and praise Him. You see, when that is your focus, when that is your mindset, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It strengthens the dilapidated bodies that we live in. Verse 9 and 10 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall burst out with new wine." And what he is saying here is that, there were laws of giving in the Old Testament. They were to tithe. And throughout the year, there was about three different types of tithing they had. But ultimately, if you boil it down, is that they were told to give of the first fruits of their cattle, the first fruits of their crops, and in doing so, God would openly reward them. And the same holds true today. And I truly believe that if we're going to be serving the Lord, if we fear the Lord, if we want His blessings upon our life, we need to be people that are giving. Giving in the sense that I'm not doing it out of duty. I'm doing it because I want to. Because He is our first fruit, that He came and died on the cross of Calvary and rose from the grave. And one day I know that I am going to rise with Him as well. And here's the wisdom in doing so. It has to be done, though, through a willing and loving heart. Do not give because you feel you got to. Okay? Do not give. When we receive an offering, the word is we receive an offering. We don't take an offering. Okay? Because taking an offering means we're going to strong arm you. And if we don't think you gave enough, we're going to stand there until you give some more. That's taking an offering. We receive an offering. Or receiving an offering, and words mean everything. Receiving says is that you, out of the love of your heart for the Lord, you have given freely. You have given of your life. In fact, one of the things that the Lord says even to the people of Israel, back in Exodus 25 and 2, He says, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. With his heart you shall take my offering." Exodus 35 and 5 says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." And then we find in the New Testament, Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He wrote this in 2 Corinthians. He could not write this in 1 Corinthians because the church was in utter chaos. They had all kinds of schism going on. He could not write this statement to them in that text. In that first letter. But the second letter, they had accepted the first letter and they were changing their ways. And he said this in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. "Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." They were not ready to hear that in 1 Corinthians. They were ready to hear it in 2 Corinthians. He also went on to say this in 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. In other words, God is not going to look at you upon you by what you don't have, but He's going to look upon you what you have and what you are willing to give out of what He has given unto you. Does that make sense? The results of doing so, the results of giving back to the Lord. Notice what He says, so shall thy barns be filled, and many stop reading right there. So shall thy barns be filled. And the problem that you have with this, the problem is that so shall thy barns be filled, if you stop reading that passage of Scripture right there and you miss the next two words, you will have missed the whole reason for why thy barns will be filled. It says it will be filled with plenty. Be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now why, Pastor, are you making that statement? Well, I'll give you some personal reading that I want you to do sometime today. I want you to read the account of Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. It's only about five verses. But I want you to go back and read about this man that the Lord told a parable about. About the fact is that they had a bountiful harvest. And he went and he built bigger barns. That was his idea, to build bigger barns. You see, when it says here that he filled with plenty, it's not so that he could just take care of his needs, but the plenty was so that he could help with someone else's needs. That's the wisdom of that passage. He will fill your barns with plenty so that you don't hoard it to yourself, but that you seek God's wisdom on how he can be used to help others. Luke 12 and 21 says this, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. Verses 11 and 12 tell us this, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. You got to understand something here, is that when we started out this passage, is that it says, we started with, let thine heart keep my commandments. And I said that if you're going to be wise in the Lord and seek true wisdom, is that you have to look at all of God's Word. And as we're just stepping through a couple verses at a time, these are just not just segments of two verses, and that's all I'm going to build on. This is a building of our life. This is a succession. Learn what the commandments of the Lord are. Learn what the Word of teaching. Start applying it. And as a result, we will start understanding about what mercy and truth is. We will start understanding what it means that we will find favor in the Lord. We will start learning to trust in the Lord. And as a response to what we're learning, is that then we will not be wise in our own eyes. We will find that following after the Lord, it will be health to our navel and marrow to our bones. And then what we want to do is that we will want to honor Him for what we have received. First, it will come from the possessions that He has given us. We will want to honor Him. He will give us more. But then along the way, there still may be opportunities where we forget, we forsake His law, we forsake His way, and His desire is to do what? Draw us back into the right path. Draw us back into His path. And that's why He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delights. We're reminded here that God chastens us as we go through our life's journey as His child. God does not whip the devil's children. He doesn't. He's not their father. So why would He whip them? What is He going to do? He brings us, the church, to take the Word of God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Win them unto Jesus. Show them the Word of God. But until they receive Christ as Savior, their father is still the devil. Until they receive Christ as their Savior, their father is still the devil. The devil is still going to do everything in his power to keep them from becoming a child of God. He's going to do everything in his power to keep them from trusting and in coming under the sonship of God the Father. Everything. So why in the world is he going to whip the devil's children? They're not his. They're not his. He showed his love for them as he showed his love for us. If you're a child of God, we were once the child of the devil. But now, as a child of God, we are His child. And when we get out of sorts, we get out of character with Him, we start going the wrong direction, He is going to chastise us. And the Lord tells us in His Word, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Job says this in Job 5:17-18, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. I'm told that shepherds, you know, when they have lambs and they have sheep, and these lambs, they sometimes are just like us. We wander off in places we shouldn't be. The shepherd has a hook. He brings them back. They wander off again. He has to go get them. They pulls them back into the fold. And after a period of time of them wandering off, he says, okay, I got to teach them a lesson. And he will go and take that lamb and he'll break his leg. He will bind it. He will carry it until it heals. Then he puts it back down amongst the other sheep. And the lamb stays with the sheep. He's recognized danger out there. My shepherd loves me. He is, though I was hurt, I have been healed. And now I walk with Him. You see, when we look at this, is what Job was saying. And in fact, in Revelation, we find in Revelation 3:19, when the Lord was writing to one of the churches there, He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. So we see that there's this advocation or admonishment to us to be humble. And look here starting in verse 13, where we have this happy gain of wisdom. And I will tell you, until you see the value of wisdom, you're not going to seek after it. But notice what verse 13 says. And verse 14. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and gain thereof than fine gold. I will tell you, everything that we've gotten down to this far in verse 13 has really been, I'll call it the pre-kindergarten, or the kindergarten years. I'll call it those first few years of our formidable life as a child of God. That was when we were on the milk of the Word. When we get down to verse 13, we have entered the school of wisdom. We have entered the school of wisdom. Because it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Not only findeth it, but the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. You know, many men have spent a lifetime searching for silver and gold only to come up empty-handed. And the amount that they did find only brought happiness for a moment. And here's some of the reasons. Due to the uncertainty of the value, due to the volatility of the markets, the fact that there was limited supply, the taxes that would have to be paid on the silver and gold, and the silver and gold could only sustain one's needs for a period of time. So they searched a lifetime to get a small commodity that they couldn't do very much with. But when we search for the Lord's wisdom, we realize that we've entered into this, again, the school of wisdom. And we can start to understand not only the Lord's wisdom and value of it, we find that we can have joy, we can have gladness, we can have happiness. And here's the reason, because we will never come up empty. There's no devaluation of it. There's no taxes upon it, of the Lord's wisdom, and there's no short supply of it. It will sustain us for all of life's journey. And that we can say amen to. There's nothing that this wisdom of God that anyone can ever take away from us. And we can use it, and it's in bountiful supply. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, and He will give it to you liberally. So it says, but it takes this. We need to understand the Lord's wisdom is spiritual in nature, not physical, but it can be used and should be used throughout our physical life's journey. Colossians 3:2 tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Paul writing in Romans 8:5-6, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 15 and 16 goes on to say, She. Now he speaks of wisdom in a woman sense or a female sense, and I'll tell you the why here as we go through this. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. So what we find here is that wisdom is portrayed as a woman. She is more precious than rubies or pearls, and all the things that you can desire are not to be compared unto her. The idea here is that as you look on her, as you ponder her beauty, as you look at every facet of her being, and think about this, as you would take a diamond, as you would hold a light to a diamond, is that you see that as you turn that diamond, and every cut, every facet brings out a different sense of beauty. When you look at wisdom, it is of that same sense as that as you are turning and looking at her, and you then realize the great gain of acquiring the Lord's wisdom. I made this statement. God's Word is good for all people, all places, all times. And we look at it as I can turn and look at God's wisdom and apply it over here. I can turn it and look at it, and I haven't changed it. I have not changed it in form, fashion, or anything. I'm just applying it because I've turned it and found an application here. And I've turned it again and found an application over here. The commodity of it is so rich and vast. And then look at her hands. Look at her hands that are being held out. It's what is in her hands. It says, and there's no rhyme or reason why it says left hand or right hand. It just says, length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. As you look at the wisdom of God and what she is offering out, what's being offered to us in both her hands is length of days, riches and honor. And again, I didn't say that you go out here and take the wisdom of God and live another 30, 40 years. I didn't say that. Length of days, because you are resting in the Lord. And what it does is that your issues in life are not consuming you. What's consuming you is the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Let your salvation work out of you. Remember this. Be confident in this very thing, that the good work that the Lord has started in you, He will complete it. But you know, don't fight Him all the way. Proverbs 8 and 18 says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable, durable riches and righteousness. Look at verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So we find here that verse 17 tells us that it requires study and effort to and time to really grasp the Word of God. The Spirit of God does not open the... I will tell you this, and I want you to hear this. The Spirit of God does not open the Word of God to a lazy mind. Let that one sink in a little bit. The Spirit of God is not open, God not going to open the Word to a lazy mind. But He's going to open it to those that are ready. Those that are open their hearts. Those that are open their minds are ready to receive, have the desire to receive. You know, one of the things that each and every one of us, that when we study God's Word, we ought to say, Lord, I'd like to find something new in it. Now, I don't want to shoehorn something it doesn't say, but I want to find something new out of it. I want to be able to turn that diamond, turn that facet, that ruby, that pearl, and I want to turn it, and I want to take a look and see it from another aspect and learn something new of You. But I will tell you is that one of the great problems that we have today in churches today is that many people are not willing to make the sacrifice to study God's Word. Oh, we'll read it. We'll read it, but we don't study it. And I will tell you why we don't study it at times. It's because we're afraid of what we might find. Not only are we afraid of what we might find, because it may require a change in our life. It may require a pattern change in our life. It may require us to a greater call of service unto the Lord. That's part of the reason why we don't do it. So we get lazy about, and there's a lot of laziness that is there with, is covered with pious jargon and pious platitudes. You know, think about this. There's people you've met that can quote a lot of Scripture, right? They can quote a lot of Scripture. They can tell you this verse, they can tell you that verse, they can quote it. And they'll run rings of circles around us because they can quote Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. But the very, very moment something happens in their life, they're not running to that Scripture. They're running over here. They're running over there. They're blaming God. Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? See, just having knowledge of what the Word of God says, meaning I've recorded it in my memory banks and I can recall it, that's one thing. But a lazy mind will only be at platitudes. They'll only be at platitudes of what they, because that's what they know. And they have they may sound good. They may sound like they have a lot of knowledge. And I will tell you, a lot of knowledge gets you very little at times. Gets you very little in life at times. Having a lot of knowledge, but no application of it. And so with that woeful ignorance of the Word of God, oh, they've got a lot of vocabulary about God's Word, but they have no life experience with it. And these days, there's no excuse for being ignorant of the Word of God. It requires work. It's true. It requires work. But I will tell you, the ways of wisdom are the ways of pleasantness, and that's what it says. The ways of wisdom are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. You know, we can look at life from a couple different senses. I will tell you this. I can look at what's going on in our country right now in politics, and I can say it's a mess. It's a disaster in many things that are happening. I mean, it just breaks my heart on some of the things I'm seeing in our country. This is not our country, what we know as the United States of America. But you see, I can look past that. I can look past of all that's going on. I will say this. We need to pray for those that are in our government. The Lord calls us to. We need to pray for those that are in those positions. The Lord opened that position, and they're in it. We need to pray for them as we're called to. But I have to look further and say, but my Lord is still on the throne. He may allow some of these things to go on. He may allow them because we need to be taught a lesson on some things. He may allow it. He may be testing us because sometimes He allows hardship to come in to test us. Are you really who you say you are, Cornerstone Baptist Church? Are you really going to seek my wisdom? Even if it gets hard for you, are you really going to follow me? Are you going to turn and run? Are you going to capitulate? Are you going to turn to this or that? We're talking to some about in Sunday school this morning. Are you going to accept that? You're going to accept this? Are you going to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine? Are you going to stay true to who you say you are? It takes work. And it takes fortitude. It takes commitment. And then it says in verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Hold on to her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom is a tree of life. But we have to lay hold. We have to hold on to her. Proverbs 14 and 27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 15 and 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness thereof is a breach in the spirit. Verses 19 and 20 of our text says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Now this here in verses 19 and 20, they really present a lesson for us to ponder. If the Lord used wisdom to create and operate the heavens and earth, how urgent is it for us to have wisdom to fulfill our mission? Let me explain that statement. You know, we live in a universe that is tremendously ordered. For everyone who studies the law of nature and probes into the secrets of the universe, you have to wonder why they're not brought to the realization that there was someone much greater that set all this stuff in order. Case in point, if you go and you look at NASA as an example, NASA has to place a rocket or a satellite into orbit. Now, today's orbit and trajectory has to be looked at 10 years from now, 100 years from now, and 1,000 years from now, as an example. They have to make sure that if they launch, especially if you took a satellite, because satellite's going to be up there for a long time, and they have to then calculate where the stars are, where the orbit is, where the Earth is, and everything that makes up that sphere where these satellites are going to be placed. And then they have to start running their models through the computer. And they have to look as times and seasons and everything changes. If that satellite stays where it's at, will it run into another satellite? Will it run into some other sphere that's up there? Will it be, you know, due to trajectory, burn out because it comes back into orbit when it shouldn't have? They have to look at all of that. And the only way that they can get those rockets and those satellites to be where they need to be is because of the order of things. Who placed everything in the order they're in? God did. And when an individual learns that God placed these things in order, and because of it, it's been predictable where that they're going to be, where those satellites, how they're going to stay in orbit. And so they take this information, they put it in so that things can be very precise. So they put one satellite up, they put another satellite up, and they're not running into each other. They can distance themselves enough to where that they can have their own plane they're running through and be distanced among themselves. And so as a result of that, is that when we look at the Scriptures and it says that we understand that the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens, by His knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew, is that what it ended up telling us, as the psalmist wrote in Psalms 104:24, O Lord, how wonderful are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. Jeremiah wrote this in Jeremiah 10:12. He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by His direction. And folks, as we are going through our school of wisdom today, is that we're seeing here is that we look at how close God is in all of our daily living, but then we also look at how expanse He is in all He's done for this earth, for the orbit. This place is the only place that God has created for man to live on. I know we've got a rover sitting up on Mars right now. They're digging up dirt. They're looking at what's in that dirt. And I will tell you, what they will find is it's not habitable for man. Man cannot go up and walk around as you and I are today without a space suit on, without weights on our feet to keep us from flying off because of lack of gravity. Everything is here is tuned to man, to sustain man. When we look outside at the trees as an example, and what they do to help oxygenate the air, and how they help clean the air, how the vegetation helps to clean the air to sustain us with all that we need. And notice the trees don't get any higher than they need to be. Why? It's because that helps us with our oxygen. The birds are able to fly in the sphere that God has given. And we see that how much He is there. We then can only stand back in awe and then ask, Lord, I need some of that wisdom of understanding of You. Look at verse 21 of our text. It says, now that we further see the benefits of wisdom, it says, My son, let not them depart. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall there be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. So again, the benefits of having the wisdom of God, it urges that wisdom and discretion govern us. There's going to be a lot of pressures in our life. There's going to be a lot of inclinations to be drawn and away from the Lord. But if we follow the ways of the Lord, we put them upon our hearts, we bind them about our neck, this will bring long life and be a spiritual ornament unto us, pleasing to God. And life and grace come through His wisdom of studying the Word of God. In fact, it says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Proverbs 1:9 says, For they shall be an ornament of grace in thy head, chains about thy neck. Proverbs 4:10 says, Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. And then in Colossians 3:15, we says, And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it have first place in our hearts. 23 and down to 26 tells us this, Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You know, one of the things that we look at here is that man has many fears today about life. And these fears come, and we all have some type of fear in our life, right? So what's the solution? The Word of God is the answer to all of it. As we've looked at through this passage this morning, He has the answer to all of it. Since we spend most of our time in two ways. We're either walking or lying down, right? Our life is really spent walking and lying down. The assurance is given that we will walk safely. All right? The assurance. We will walk safely. Now, does that mean I'm not going to slip and fall? No, that does not mean that. There's times that we slip and fall, right? But He's there to pick us up, to help us. But also, think about this. Our sleep, He tells us, will be sweet. How many people go to sleep at night in anxiety, wringing their hands? They never get into REM sleep because they're just worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Worried what's going to happen. The world is going to fall apart. My life is just going to fall apart. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And they just wring themselves. The Lord says, give it to God. Give it to Him. And when we do, notice what we can have. Restful sleep. To be able to get up refreshed. You know, that's one of the things that I try to make it a point. In fact, I do make it a point every night before I go to bed. I thank the Lord for the day. But I ask Him for restful sleep. So that if He gets me up tomorrow, then I'm ready to go. And you know what? He's been honoring that. And He does honor that. All right? He honors it. And the Scripture tells us that in these verses that we just read here, the wise man describes the confidence, the security, the safety which proceed from a conscience of innocence. Again, most people are afraid to sleep because they're afraid they'll never wake up. I don't worry about that. If you know Jesus is your Savior, you should never worry about waking up. Because the Lord says, absent from this body, present with Him. Amen? If you ever get worried about where you're going to be, where you're going to go, read what it says in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. This is Jesus speaking. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now He was asked, but how do we know the way? How do we know the way of this bliss of heaven? Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I have all the wisdom. You want to come to the Father? Come through Me. Because there you will find rest. There you will find righteousness. There you will find acceptance. There you will find peace. And there you will find blissful rest. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. He's never going to pull. He's never going to pull the carpet from underneath you. And He's never going to pull the wool over your eyes. He is going to show you Himself. He's going to show you His care. He's going to show you His love. We will walk safely. We will not stumble. We will sleep peaceably. And we will not be afraid in time of danger. Today we have seen that true wisdom can only come from the Lord. And the acquisition of wisdom starts when we voluntarily enter into the school of wisdom as we open God's Word. Because it will teach us, again, the exhortation to obedience, to humility. It will teach us the happy gain of wisdom, the benefits of wisdom. And again, verse 13 of our text says this. Says, happy is the man that thinketh wisdom, that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. I don't know where you are this morning in your heart. I don't know the struggles that you have, but I will tell you, God has all the answers. In His Word. Not my Word, but His Word. Don't trust in yourself, trust in Him. Seek His wisdom. Don't just find it and not apply it. Apply it, use it, test it, and it will show you His ways in your life. But I will tell you, the first amount of wisdom that you need is to know Jesus. Jesus came and died because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And if you've never trusted in Jesus, you will not have the wisdom of His until you trust in Him. When you trust in Him, you can start to understand the wisdom. Oh, you can read the book, you can recite the book, but you'll never understand the essence of the book until you know Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we invite you to trust in Him today. But for we who are saved, I pray that our desire to grow in the wisdom of God has been increased today. Let us stand as our Musicians come for a hymn of invitation. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for what your word continues to teach us. And as you've said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. But Lord, that wisdom has to be placed squarely into our hearts, placed around our necks, so we can walk in it day by day. You know the struggles of each one that's here. And Lord, as we've mentioned in this message, if we have sin in our heart, that will not avail us to your wisdom until we get that sin taken care of. Lord, as you call us, let us be obedient. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.